I read to you from Philippians 4:19, where the Bible says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen to me, if you will. The world is awful, awful concerned about money and riches. People in the world have their own concept about what riches are. Katy Perry, the pop star, wasted $200,000 to buy two seats on a short ride on what is called Virgin Galactic Spaceship. It was a gift, a birthday gift, for his 35th birthday, her husband Russell. So he just spent $200,000 for a trip up in a spaceship. Now, they didn't get to take the trip because they got divorced after 14 months and didn't have a chance to take their trip, but she was going to spend $200,000 of her money for that one trip. I think they call – his name is Kanye West. Am I saying that right? He's a hip-hop star. He purchased his wife, Kim, 10 Burger King restaurants as an anniversary gift. The total of $4,750,000. You say, what was the joke? Well, the joke was he wanted her to have it her way. But can you imagine $4,750,000 spent on that one gift? Bill and Hillary Clinton, according to the statistics, are worth about $111 million. The presidential candidate, Donald Trump, according to Forbes magazine, is worth about $3.7 billion. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, at the time of his death, was the most wealthy man on the face of the earth at that time as an individual. And when he passed, he was worth $75 billion. Warren Buffett is worth $62 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, the originator of Facebook, is worth $40.3 billion. The Walmart empire, and Sam Walton would have been the wealthiest man in the world at one point, but when he passed, he left things to his family. The four Waltons that took over Walmart from Sam Walton are worth $127,600,000,000. But let me explain something to you. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says this, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And, you know, I think we all understand money, and money has a certain importance in our society. I mean, we trade with money because we have money. We buy food and clothing and all of that. But, folks, money's not the most important thing in life. But let me tell you this, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. What I'm about to say, I really don't think it's going to be a real amazing thing. But what I am, but I do want to tell you this. I believe what I'm about to say. I really believe what this sign behind me tells us. You're a born-again Christian today. You're rich. You're rich. You're rich. We are rich in Christ Jesus. I had a little fun with it. I used the alphabet. Let me, just so I don't waste what I prepared, let me give this to you, and then I'll say something else to you. I got to thinking about how we are rich from A to Z. We are A, accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. We are B, born of God, in 1 John 5:1. We are C, crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. We are D, delivered from the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. We are E, enriched in everything in Him, 1 Corinthians 1:5. We are F, forgiven for Christ's sake, Ephesians 4:32. And G, grounded in His love, Ephesians 3:17. And H, we're hid in Christ Jesus, in God, in Colossians 3:3. We are I, instructed in the way of the Lord in Acts 8:25. And J, justified by His grace in Titus 3:7. And K, we're kept by the power of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We are L, led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14. We are M, made near to God through His blood, Ephesians 2:13. We are N, nourished in His Word, 1 Timothy 4:6. And O, we are ordained to have eternal life, Acts 13:48. P, we are perfected forever because of Him, Hebrews 10:14. We are Q, we are quickened together with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. We are R, redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. We are S, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13. We are T, translated into His kingdom and the kingdom of His Son, Colossians 1:13. We are U, unblameable in His sight, Colossians 1:22. We are V, victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:57. We are W, washed from our sin in His blood, Revelation 7:15. We are Y, yearned over by His Spirit, Romans 8:26. And Z, zealous of good works, 2:14. You say you left out X. I know. But if you put as much time into all those other letters as I did to realize at the end there's nothing X in the Bible, you go ahead and give them 25 of the 26 letters of the alphabet. Amen. Life's tough, then you die. If you can get me an X, I'll put it in there. But I couldn't find anything. I'll never forget it. I was growing up, and I didn't grow up rich. I never considered myself growing up poor. I can remember eating my breakfast and drinking out of canning jars, and Mom would pour milk in it. I'd eat my cereal out of old plastic. We'd get margarine, and we'd get these plastic bowls with our margarine, and that's how I'd eat my cereal that way. And we ate a lot of eggs at our house, and we ate a lot of rice at our house. Hot dogs were tube steaks. But we didn't. I have to tell you, I was probably about 13 or 14 years of age before my parents started buying me new clothes. It was always hand-me-downs from relatives, and we'd go to yard sales and Goodwills, and we'd buy our clothes that way. And by the way, I don't feel sorry for myself. I was just glad to have clothes, and I enjoyed my food, and I enjoyed my life. I didn't have a fancy new bike. We'd take bits and pieces of bicycles and build our own, and some of them looked kind of weird and wild, but that made it even more special. But I got to tell you something. Growing up, I didn't have a lot of money, and I'd look at money, and I'd look at things, and I'd look at people, and I was always a little bit amazed at it. And then somebody told me when I was a teenage boy, they said, now that you're saved, you're rich. And I didn't quite totally grasp it at first. Then I began to look in the Bible, and they began to teach me. I began to look at things, and I began to realize I am. I had my dreams as a kid. You know, I was going to grow up and make $1 million or a billion or a trillion or whatever that is. But I began to realize that through Jesus Christ and the fact the day that I got saved, I got introduced into a family, the family of God. And the family of God, there's a richness in it all. I got to tell you today, I would not trade my life for any life. I'm glad I get to live my life in Jesus Christ. I'm glad I get to live my life in the New Testament church. Now, if I may, I just want to brag on the fact that we are rich in Christ Jesus just for a little while. I think, number one, the saved are rich because we have everlasting life. We have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're saved, you have everlasting life. John 3:16 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me explain that to you. The word everlasting there is the duration. That's forever. We are going to live forever. I don't look forward to death. I don't think you look forward to death. But I do know this one thing. The day I die, I live on in eternity with Jesus Christ forever. And we have that if we're saved. But not only that. Secondly, the saved are rich because we have eternal life. You say, but Pastor, didn't you just say that? Well, everlasting is the length. Eternal is the quality. You see, we have eternal life. So we're going to live forever, but the quality of that life is amazing. It's going to be bliss. It's going to be a delightful eternity. We are going to live in heaven. We're going to live with Jesus. We're going to have all the wonderful things that you could ever imagine in heaven. Now, listen, maybe I can make sense of this for you. Everybody has everlasting life. But some people are going to have everlasting life in heaven, eternal, and some people are going to have everlasting life in hell. That's not such a good deal. Okay? So, I'm rich. Why? I'll live forever. I'm rich because where I live forever, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous thing. Number three, I think the saved are rich because we will not be condemned for our sin. We're not condemned for our sin. We got saved. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, folks, you've sinned and I've sinned. But when we got saved, Jesus said, I'll forgive you of your sin. That's a good deal. That's a real good deal. That makes us rich. We in eternity are not going to be held accountable for our sin. Now, were we guilty? Yes, we were. But somebody took care of it for us at the time of our salvation. I'll tell you, have you ever heard the story about how one day you're going to get to heaven and they're going to pull out this great big movie screen and we're all going to watch every bad thing that you've ever done? I've got news for you. Whoever told you that story about the big screen and all the bad things you've ever done, they're full of prunes. It's not going to happen that way. You say, why? Because when we got saved, we were forgiven. And when we were forgiven, God said, I will not condemn you for your sin. When we get to heaven, it's going to be exactly that. I got to tell you, if I got to heaven and I had to face all the sins I'd ever committed, I'd be wondering what's the heaven about that? That wouldn't seem like much of a heaven. So there's and look, when it talks about not condemned for our sin, folks, you and I, we're not going to go to hell. If you're a born again Christian, you are not going to hell. That makes you pretty rich. I say this, and I say it, four or five times a year. I don't know what you're going through. I'm sure there's someone sitting here today, you got a heavy heart and a broken heart, and you're facing some really tough things in life. But let me tell you, if you're saved, you've got something very wonderful going for you. I mean, you might lose some money this week, and you might lose some belonging this week, and you might not feel well this week, but if you're saved, you're saved this week, and you're not going to go to hell, and you're not going to be condemned, and you have everlasting life, and you have eternal life. And I know you might be having a rough week, and God knows I don't want you to have that rough week. But if you are, and you're born again, don't forget, we are rich in Christ Jesus. I think, fourthly, I think the saved are rich because we get to go to heaven. In John 14:2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. We sang it earlier as a part of the theme for our fall program. Mansion over the hilltop. Listen, folks, we get to go to heaven. You say, what's so good about heaven? Well, first of all, there'll be no more death there. You say, what's so good about heaven? There'll be no sorrow there. There'll not be a broken heart there. There'll not be pain there. There'll not be cancer there. You woke up this morning and your back hurt. You've had issues with your back and you've had issues with your health. When you get to heaven, you'll not wake up one morning with an ache or a pain. It is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. Hey, the best thing about heaven is that Jesus is there. But the saved are rich because we get to go to heaven. But not only that, number five. The saved are rich because we have been adopted into God's own family. Romans 8:15 says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba there is actually the word daddy. You and I that are saved, we get to call God daddy. And I say this in jest from time to time. You ever meet somebody that's what I'd call kind of hyper-religious? And they almost give you the impression that they really don't know God. They call him God, the Heavenly Father. I'm thinking, I never called my dad the Heavenly Dad. At home, he was Dad. He was Daddy. I'm not trying to be irreverent toward God, but I am telling you this. He's my Daddy. He's my Heavenly Father. I'm a part of the family. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And folks, we are rich in the fact that we have been adopted into God's family. Folks, we're not, hey, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like we're visitors there. We're a part of the clan. We're a part of the family. You ever go somewhere and visit and you just know that you're a visitor? Okay, there's somebody here today. You're a guest in our church. I want you to feel welcome. I really do. But maybe you came and you say, oh, I feel a little awkward. I mean, I've never been here before and don't know what's going on. And the pastor's a little weird. And I'm not really sure. I feel a little awkward about this whole thing. Let me tell you, when you and I get to heaven, there'll be no weird feeling. You'll say, why? We're part of the family. When we get up there, they won't say, okay, you know, you over there that came up here from earth, you know, you're all second-class citizens. You go over and stand in that area because we've got an area set aside for you. When we walk in, they're going to say, hey, the family's here. And we're going to be welcomed. Why? Because we, through salvation, have been adopted into the family of God. See, we are rich in Christ Jesus. Why? We have everlasting life. We are rich in Christ Jesus. Why? We have eternal life. We are rich in Christ Jesus because we're not going to be condemned for our sins and we'll not be punished in hell. We are rich in Christ Jesus because we'll spend that eternal, everlasting life in the place called heaven where God's home is. We are rich in Christ Jesus because we've been adopted into God's family. But not only that, number six, I think the saved are rich because of the forgiveness that God has given to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me explain it to you. When you get saved, understand forgiveness for what it's really worth. When you got saved, you got forgiven for all the sins of your past and the sins of your present and the sins of your future. Now, that isn't God giving you a license to sin. Someone said, well, I can just do what I want if I want to. No, we're never supposed to have that attitude. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And what God is saying is, don't have a bad attitude about your sin. I saved you from your sin, but I wasn't giving you a license to go out and live any way you want. Now, live right and do right. But we indeed are saved from past sin, present sin, future sin. God has us covered it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank God. I'm rich. I am rich because of the forgiveness that's been made available to me through this thing called salvation. But only that, number seven. I think the saved people are rich because we are free from the power of darkness, the Bible says. When you and I got saved, the Bible teaches we asked Jesus to come into our heart. He came into our heart in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And God said, you on your own would have a difficult time overcoming temptation. You on your own would have a difficult time overcoming and having victory over Satan. But God said, I will seal myself in the person of the Holy Spirit of God inside you, and I'm going to make it so you can have victory over temptation. You and I will combine forces, and I can help you to have victory over sin, and victory over temptation, and victory over the evil one. Folks, do you have any idea? Do you have any idea what you and I could be capable of in this life had we not been saved? Had God not given us the ability to overcome sin? You know, you may glance out and see someone and you look at them and they're living like an animal and you say, how could anybody be so hateful? How could anybody be so mean? How could anybody be so damaging to other people? How could anybody hurt others and live like that? And you might say, I'm appalled at that. Well, let me tell you, Christian, when you got saved, God moved into you and God has spared you and salvaged you from becoming some pretty nasty things. God took us and we were on sinking sand. He established our going. He set our feet upon a rock and he said, I can help you so you don't go out and destroy your life. I can help you so you're not the one that's murdering and you're not the one that's raping and you're not the one that's robbing and you're not the one that is hateful and nasty and vile and wicked. And hey, why? We got saved and God said, I can help you that you have power over the darkness of this world. Hey, we're rich. That's pretty valuable. Wow, think of what we have at our disposal. But not only that. Number eight, I think that the saved are rich because God said we have the privilege of being royalty. Royalty. For Peter 2:9 says, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hey, Christian, you are, look right this way, you are somebody. You are somebody. You say, well, preacher, I don't have much money. Hey, you're part of a royal priesthood. You're a born-again Christian. You're part of the family of God. You say, well, pastor, I'm not extremely intelligent. Let me explain something to you. You are royalty in God's family. We're a part of the upper crust, if you will. Every one of us. You say, how so? Not because of your last name or my last name, but because of his name, Jesus Christ. We as Christians are royalty. And I realize there's a even in the political world right now, boy, just all these names being thrown around of all these rich people and all that they have and all the influence and all that. Let me tell y'all something. You and I are a part of the family of God. We have more royalty going for us as born again Christians than all those politicians that think they're name dropping and all that junk all put together. We are a part of God's family. Our God is our Father. We're a part of the family. We're moving into his neighborhood when we train transfer from down here, and we are royalty according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But not only that, verse 9, the saved are rich because we have direct access to God. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Let me tell you something. Here God is saying, if you're saved, you can get a hold of God and you just pray to him right where you're at anytime, night or day. You don't have to wait till business hours. He's open 24/7. You're not going to be put on call waiting. A receptionist is not going to pick up the phone and say, God's busy right now. He can't hear your prayer. It's not going to happen. Tell you what you do. Make a call today and see if you can talk to the president. You will never get a call back. Try to reach the vice president today. Try to reach your congressman today. Hey, try to reach your governor today. Hey, try to reach your dog catcher today. They're all way too busy for you. Try to reach God today. That's pretty valuable. I feel like, look, I have direct access to God, and that's what he did when he saved us. But not only that, I think saved are rich because we're the objects of his love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Folks, God loves me when I'm right, and God loves me when I'm wrong. God loves me when I'm encouraged, and God loves me when I'm discouraged. God loves me when I'm winning, and God loves me when I'm losing. There's a richness that we have as Christians because we have a direct access to God. We are the objects of his love, and not only that. Did you know that when we got saved, God gave us the availability of his peace in our lives? In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Folks, listen, you talk about something that's valuable. It is valuable to know that as God's child, we can have the peace of God in our lives. When the storm hits, we may have to go through some storms, but we have the peace of God. Hey, if you want to know how things are going, glance off and look at God and see if God is panicked. God's not panicked about anything, folks. God is not panicked, and God said, the very peace that I have, I make that available to you. Keep your eyes on God. He has it under control. He's not panicked. He's not freaked out. God is in control. He is an anchor. And God said, when you get saved, I'm going to make my peace available to you. You know, it says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens for you. You and I are rich because we are inheriting, because of salvation, we inherit what God has. Now, I've dealt with some people that have inherited some things from mom or inherited some things for dad, but they can be short-lived. And they don't last as long as what you might think. But here the Bible says you and I, just like Jesus Christ, we get to inherit the riches of God. You know, when we get to heaven, according to Ephesians 2:19, it says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When we get to heaven, the Bible says we're going to move into the household of God. We're rich. We are rich. I'm going to sum it up by saying this. When I read this verse, I said, that tells it all. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Folks, if you're saved, you're rich. You say, no, Mark Zuckerberg and the founder of Facebook, he's rich. No, you're rich. If that man does not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's poor. You say, but Donald Trump, he's worth three point who knows how many billion. He's rich. If he does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, he's poor. You say, well, those that now own Walmart, multi-billion-dollar corporation, they're rich. Look, folks, if they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, they're poor. They're poor. The Clintons, you say, they're worth millions of dollars. Somebody can afford to give away 10 Burger King restaurants as an anniversary gift because he wants his wife to have it her way. Sounds to me like there's a little tension there, if you ask me. But you say, they're rich, they're rich. No, folks, you're rich in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, those that think they're rich in this world, understand something. They better live it up now Because if they don't get saved, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell, and their eternity is going to be a mess. The worst that you and I as Christians will ever face, we face it down here. And just so you know, this isn't all that bad. You're okay. But the greatest we're going to have comes to us after we die and we go start tapping into all the rest of the riches that's our inheritance. So when you look at people out there in the world, and you look and you say, look at how wealthy they are. Look at how wealthy Warren Buffett is with his $62 billion. Look, just remember this. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One moment in hell, you would have wished you would have turned to Jesus Christ. The world may look at us and think we're a little bit silly. That's not the case. We just happen to know that our God has promised us his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we're rich. You know, some of these things that we're doing for our fall program, you know, we're not giving one penny away. We're giving a bunch of paper away. That's all it is. You know, those bills and all, it's just paper. It's just paper. Your riches, all this stuff I told you about, it's not just paper. Heaven's not just paper. The peace of God, that's not just paper. This old world, it almost functions off of paper. That's not riches. Riches is salvation. Riches is Jesus. Riches is heaven. Riches is what we have in store for our future. Hey, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, how'd you like to become rich today? Just realize you're a sinner. Realize there's a penalty for sin. Realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he said to us, he said, if you'll call upon me, I'll save you. I'll take you to heaven someday when you die. And then you can be rich in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? And I will, I promise you. I see a hand, someone else. You say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Okay. Hey, those of you then that claim to be born again, let me remind you what the world considers riches. And I'm not against people having money. Money's not bad. The Bible teaches it's the love of money that's bad. It's when money's used the wrong way, it becomes bad. Money's not bad. But it's when it takes the wrong place in your life, it becomes bad. But some of you need to realize, though you may not have a lot of money, you may never have what the world calls riches. If you're saved, what you have available to you exceeds what wealthy people in this world tend to think is riches for themselves. Who here today would say, Pastor, somewhere in this sermon, I think I've been challenged. I think God's spoken to my heart about something. I needed to be reminded, though I might not have much down here, I am truly rich in Christ Jesus. And who would say, God's spoken to my heart today in that effect? And you'd raise your hand and say, I see it. I can see there maybe some things that I've not even clung to, or I've not reached out and grabbed a hold and realized that those riches. You may put your hands down. It won't take long, but in a moment we're going to have an altar call. That means this, in a second, the pianist will begin to play. Then as that pianist plays, we're going to stand. And after we stand, if you need to come, and maybe, I don't know, if you're not saved, you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian, you say, I'm a little backslidden in my heart. You know, I feel sorry for myself and going through some rough times. I need to realize I'm rich in Christ Jesus. Let it be an encouragement to you. And folks, I wish some of you would, in your heart, decide, you know what? I am going to do everything I can during the fall program to bring guests and visitors so they too can become rich in Christ Jesus. You might not be able to offer your friends or your family millions of dollars in inheritance, but you know what? You could get them to church and let them get saved, and they could become as rich as you and I are in Christ Jesus. If you need the altar, we'll invite you to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and just pray for a second and say, Lord, help me. Help me to keep my eyes on the right things. Some of you make money a little too important. It's all about money, 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 money all the time. Listen, all your decisions in life are not supposed to be about money. We have riches in Christ Jesus. So if you're here today and you're a young man, a young lady, and you say, Pastor, I just want to get money. Listen, go ahead and earn money. Nothing wrong with that. I think you ought to earn money. I think you ought to pay your way. But don't make money the big deal in life. We're already rich in Christ Jesus. We have heaven. We have His peace. No condemnation. Oh my, everlasting life, eternal life. We are a part of His family, adopted, that forgiveness, power over darkness, royalty in our lives, direct access to the throne of God. He loves us. My, oh my, what we have going for us. We are of the household of faith. Every spiritual blessing is ours as born again Christians. What a good God we have. He is not just Father. He is Abba Father. He's our daddy. He's our daddy. The piano will continue to play. There are folks that are being dealt with at the altar. Again, I hope some of you will get a little fire in yourself and get some folks into church over the fall program. You don't have to try to win one of these gifts, but you may if you'd like. But I'm telling you, we'll give a fake $1 million bill. But if I were giving real $1 million bills away, that's not more valuable than salvation. That's not more valuable than the soul of a man. $1 trillion bill. Look, the value of the soul of a man or the value of the soul of a woman could never be measured by mere paper money. Oh my, no. Far more valuable than that. The piano will continue to play. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. But thank God for our riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, that verse there did not say all your want. He may not give you everything you want, but He can supply your need. He can supply your need.